welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. Got a bit of a different thing, word this morning. Hallelujah. We're just going to look at a little snapshot from the life of Jesus. Okay, because he's the one we're all following, so it's worth looking at what the actual historical documents have got to say. You know, there's more written evidence for Jesus Christ than there is for Napoleon and Julius Caesar. Hallelujah. There's a lot out there. This particular document, the Bible, is absolutely full of it. You know, and these are very reliable historical documents as well as being our sacred scriptures, if you like. There's no other historical document in the world for which there are so many reliable, attested copies of the original. And the amazing thing is, amongst the thousands of different copies and fragments that we've got, the differences in the text is so minuscule. It should be impossible to have such agreement across so many. Here and there, there's a different pronoun used, or here and there, different words used, or here and there, there might be a sentence that's stuck in there. But broadly, the whole of the New Testament is a reliable historical document. So it's great to look at it and look at the reliable historical story and then see how Jesus sort of leaps off the page to say, hi, I'm not just a reliable historical figure, but I'm here and alive today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to do a bit of this morning. Anybody like statistics? Yeah? I found an interesting one the other day. I didn't think there'd be that much enthusiasm for that, but you know, some of them are interesting. This one is, did you know that 43% of statistics are made up on the spot?
Oh.
Very good.
Hallelujah. And apparently, seven-fifths of people don't understand fractions. Hallelujah. Never mind. If at first you don't succeed, maybe skydiving isn't for you. Now, tune in this morning. Tune in. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. On one occasion, Jesus was standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and people were pressing close to him to hear God's word. He noticed two boats left at the water's edge by the fishermen who were cleaning their nets. He boarded the boat belonging to Simon and asked him to push away from the shore. Then Jesus taught the people as he sat in the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he told Simon, row out into deeper water and cast your nets for a catch. Master, Simon answered, we have worked all night without catching anything. But I will let down the nets again only because you say so. Having done so, the catch was so great that the nets were in danger of tearing. So they called their partners in the other boat to come to their aid. When they did, they filled both boats so full they began to sink. Seeing this, Simon Peter fell to his knees before Jesus and said, please forgive me, Lord, for I am such a sinner. He and all his crew were amazed at the size of the catch, as were his partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Then Jesus replied to Simon, there's nothing to fear. In the future, you will be catching men. So they beached their boats, left everything, and followed Jesus. Well, that's the start of chapter 5. We'll see how much we get through some of the other as we go along. But I think that if you want to bring this alive this morning, I'm not going to provide you with an exposition. I'm not going to go deep into lots of different words. I'm not looking for great theological understanding, particularly this morning. I just want us to see, as the church, what the life of Jesus says to us. Because he's not just the example in other ways, he's also the example of how to be the church and how to respond to the church. And we can look at what he said then, and it speaks prophetically to us today. And as I read this morning, if you want a quick prophetic statement from Jesus for this morning, here's one to note down in your notebook, or here's one to highlight in your Bible, because God's saying this to each one of us today, and it would be a shame to go away from today and forget it. Hallelujah. Notebooks are great, pencils and pens underlining in your Bible are great. Don't be embarrassed that people might think you're a bit keen. You want to be keen. Yeah. It's good to take notes on a Sunday morning so that you might not even ever look at your notes again. But the actual process of writing them down helps some of it to stick in there. Hallelujah. You know, some people say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit will bring to recall everything I need. Well, there's a truth in that, but don't try doing your degree exams on that basis either. Here you go. When he'd finished speaking, he told Simon, this is Jesus, he's just been teaching the people. Remember, he got pushed out in a boat so that his voice would be projected across the lake to the many crowds that were gathered there. He says to them, right, row out into deeper water and cast your nets for a catch. That's the word. That's the prophetic word. That's the one to make a note of. There's some others coming up, but there's one for you. Row out into deeper water and cast your nets for a catch, because it's time to get deeper. Hallelujah. You've heard it. It's a colloquialism as well as a practical expression here. It's time to get deeper. It's time to get deeper into Jesus. It's time to get deeper in terms of another colloquialism, is to get in over our heads. All right, we've got to stop trying to keep in control. It's time to get in out of control and let Jesus be in control for us. We cannot cause miracles to happen in people's bodies, but Jesus is ready and willing and able to work through us so that we can see people who are seriously ill or even minorly ill, healed. God, Jesus wants to do this, but we have a people who are reluctant to dare to try. Well, Jesus is saying, don't just try, get out in the deeper water where unless something happens, you'll drown. You won't drown because he's going to be there for you. But we've got to start taking this kind of a risk, you know, where someone might think, oh, they're wacky, they're a bit weird. Well, the church has been trying for a considerable number of years to fit in, and what has happened is the church has gone into general decline, because instead of trying to fit in, we're supposed to live like Jesus. And because Jesus was a bit wacky and a bit out there, the crowds were gathering so much when he's on the beach, he's got to go out in the boat so that he can still face the people and they can still hear him. In other words, as Jesus began to be effective in what he was called to do, a crowd began to gather. And it's time for the crowd to gather. You know, it's time for us. And how does a crowd gather? One person says to another, do you want to come along? Come and see. Hallelujah. Now, of course, I'm preaching this on a morning when I don't know how many, nearly all the students have left us now, so it's looking emptier than usual. But the crowd is gathering. Amen. All right? And it's time to get out in deeper water. With the activation that happened, the main thing about this activation is that you'll see the miraculous, the other side of obedience. All right? You won't see anybody healed if you don't dare to pray. You just won't. It doesn't happen. If you want to see miracles, pray for miracles. But dare to reach out, especially with those that don't yet know the Lord. I mean, it's so awesome knowing God. It's so fantastic knowing Jesus. People's lives get sorted. People get set free from alcohol and drugs. People get healed of terminal illnesses. My wife's been healed twice of two terminal illnesses. Hallelujah. You know, praise God for Jesus, or I would be a widower. I'm serious. But think of all the other people out there that need that kind of intervention. And God has chosen to intervene through his people. So we better intervene. We better get out in the deeper water, because it's time to cast our nets for the catch. All right? Nets. Not just one by one by one by one. We're talking catch. And if God hasn't been speaking prophetically through 24 baptisms and declared baptisms, I don't know what else he can do apart from get a megaphone and shake, wake up! Hallelujah. So are you excited about this? Yeah. Come on, this is good stuff. Yes. Hallelujah. We're going to see lots of people saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should be our motivation for everything, because it's good. It doesn't do us any good. It's just for them. Yeah. But that's what we're supposed to be, for them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The church is the only club in existence that exists for its non-members.
Right.
Hallelujah. We're not here just to get a lovely blessing on a Sunday morning and have a lovely cheery sing-song and go home and have a lovely dinner and talk about the lovely sermon that we have and what a lovely morning in the lovely theatre and wonder what we're going to happen next lovely week. Right. Stuff the lovelies. You know, we don't want a lovely time. We want a time where we're roused with a passion that we can make a difference in our town.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The world is crying out for an answer and we're sitting on our butt with it. They don't realize it's the answer because for so long the church has stuffed it in its pockets and tried to fit in. Well, we're not fitting in any longer. As it says in Matthew 5, verse 14, we're going public with this. I preached on it not long ago. I like that phrase. Come on, let's get out into deeper water. Go out somewhere where if it all goes wrong, we're going to be in trouble. Because it's not going to go wrong.
That's right, that's right.
Amen. But unless we try, we will never find out. Hallelujah. This is a rallying call going across the nation. But for us, it's happening here in Scarborough.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I don't care whether you're 660 or 106. It's a call to the generation that will rise up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Keith was preaching yesterday at the Willoughby Men's Day. I was catching up with him earlier. And he preached this incredibly controversial message and caused some disagreement in the body.
Awesome.
Do you know what he told them? God has chosen you and has a plan for your life. I mean, that seems so basic that to us it's nothing. But to them it was like, oh, no way. You know, what about the poor? What the word says, and if you believe it, that's what you'll see. If you don't believe it, you won't see it. It says we walk by faith, not by sight. You have to take hold of something that's in there, then you'll see it. But if you don't take hold, you'll just keep on getting what you've been getting.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How many people in the last week have you talked to about Jesus? Who's not a Christian? You don't need to answer that, Brian. It's a rhetorical question. Although we could have a competition, but I don't think that's really in the spirit of the word. Hallelujah. Because unless we talk to people, I know it's how our lives demonstrate as well, nobody's going to hear that there's something good out there and that what they've heard up till now and is portrayed generally speaking on television in, you know, various soap operas is only a caricature and a poor caricature of the true life of what the church is. The church is a champion. The church is mighty. The church is a force in society for good. Hallelujah. We're not against homosexuals. Okay, we are for homosexuals. We want them to have the best that God can offer. I don't want to stand up with a placard that says, "No gays in our town." Come on in. Come to church. Come and hear the good news. For too often, the church makes a stand for what it's against. Why about we tell some people what we're for?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're for the good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be interesting what you're thinking around what I just said. And I'm not going to explain it anymore. When he'd finished, oh, I've done that bit. Master Simon answered, "Here's another one. Here's another one. This is another one to underline. Put it in a different colour. Put this one in red." Here you go. Peter says, "We have worked hard all night." Church, we've been working hard. And now Jesus is saying, "Go and do some more." You know, we've been working hard, but it's not time to stop. It's not time to wind down. It's not time to take it easy. We're supposed to be busy. Jesus was a very, very busy person. Okay? It's the enemy that would have you wind down and take a rest. There's a horrible proverb in Proverbs. Funnily, it would be in Proverbs, really. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a bandit, and scarcity like a thief. Okay. You weren't all jumping up and down and saying hallelujah at that one. But it's true. The enemy would have us withdraw before the great catch appears. He doesn't want us in the boat going out deeper. He'll try to get us sunbathing on the beach, which is on one level a lot nicer until you realize the excitement and the adventure of what you're going to get out on the water. Amen. I need a lot more amens and agreement here this morning. This is, I'm not giving you deep, deep stuff you've got to ponder over. It's either yes or no. Amen or rubbish. Wicked or not cool. Well sick or... or maybe not then. Sometimes when people are struggling a little bit, and it's not that I've not got compassion. Of course I've got compassion, and you want to help people that are struggling. You hear this said again and again, well, what I need to do is withdraw from church for a little while so I can find myself or sort myself out. You hear that a lot. You know, when you withdraw from church, you're withdrawing into the enemy's camp. All right? When you're not surrounded by people who love you and care for you and want to walk with you, who else is going to get in and start speaking to you? Hallelujah. We thank you. Enthusiasm in the back row. I like it. Hallelujah. And one of our youngest members. Hallelujah. For those listening on the internet, that was Jill. Who's now looking a little brighter. Hallelujah. Probably won't ever contribute again, but no, that's not true. Anyway, we've worked hard all night without catching anything. It can feel a bit like that. It's not actually true now because we're seeing things happen. But it feels like we've been working all night. But I will let the nets down because you say so. And I want to say to you today, Jesus is saying so. Brilliant. We've got the say-so, so let's go. Yeah. Amen. It's time for the big catch in the deep water. Who's coming out into the deep water with me? Yeah. Right. Hallelujah. This bunch here. Anyone else coming out into the deep water? Hallelujah. I think we've got a majority now. Hallelujah. Because this is going to be the result of a church that dares. Amen. Yeah. When they did, they filled both boats so full they began to sink. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want so many people who've come into a wonderful living relationship with Jesus, who've come out of family situations which were breaking down, that have come out of broken marriages, that have come out of a life of depression and poverty, into the goodness that this place is far too small. The building is sinking because people have got to stand at the back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I can't do it. We do it because Christ is in us.
Yeah.
Amen? Come on. Come on, this is a cheery, shouty one this week. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's the quiet, teaching one. This is the rah one. Hallelujah. Even now and again, if I say something good, you know, people might even stand up and clap what it says in God's word. Oh, that's not our culture. Yeah, but it's the culture of the kingdom to appreciate and rejoice at what God's saying. I personally hate doing that sort of thing. I really do. But sometimes you've just got to let the Spirit of God take over and say no to the flesh and say, yes, come on, I'm going to stand, I'm going to cheer because Jesus is awesome. That was your cue. I know we don't normally do that, but perhaps we do need to normally do a bit of that, because we sometimes forget what spoilt little brats we Christians are. Why are we spoilt little brats? Because we've been given so much, and quite often we don't bother to share with anybody. But we're going public with this now. So full they began to sink. Don't let anybody ever tell you that Jesus' plan is for tiny little churches. Tiny little churches where everybody can know everybody else by their first name. How many people got saved at the beginning? 3,000 at the very beginning. That wasn't a tiny little church where everybody... They would never, ever have known everybody's name. I feel like a professor looking over the top of my glasses like that. Hallelujah. It's the trouble we're using a real Bible. Actually, I should be using the iPad again. Now, there's a verse in Job, just a short diversion from before we get back into Luke chapter 5. It says this, and we see this happening in the life of Jesus. He knew this scripture, and he put it into practice. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your way. You shall decree and declare a thing. You shall decree and declare a thing. You shall decree and declare a thing, and it shall be done, and the light of the Lord shall shine upon you. This is what the church has got to grab hold of. We've got to declare. And it doesn't just mean speaking out empty words. It means speaking out the words prophetically and doing something about it. Hallelujah. It does say you shall also. So what was the also? You go back one verse. It says, you will make your prayer to him and he will hear you. That sounds pretty good. You will make your prayer to him and he will hear you and you will pay your vows. Oh, I've got to do something. That means you will do what you've promised. What did you promise? Well, if you're a Christian, you've promised to follow Jesus and to do everything he tells you. And if you do everything he tells you, you shall also decide and decree a thing and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. Hallelujah. I'm not a prosperity gospel person in the sense of, you know, people just preaching money, 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 money. But neither am I a poverty gospel person. God does want to prosper you. God does want you to be successful in what you're doing. Why does he want God's people to prosper? So we can give. So we can give away. Hallelujah. Jesus' robe that he wore was beautiful. When he was crucified, the Romans were tossing lots for it because they didn't want to rip it up because it was such a gorgeous garment. It was his undergarment. Okay, don't get this idea that Jesus was just poverty stricken. He wasn't. He had a treasurer.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
His name was Judas Iscariot, but that's another story. Anyway, seeing this, Simon Peter fell to his knees before Jesus and said, please forgive me, Lord, for I'm such a sinner. Why did he do that at this point? Because he's having a revelation that this is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you're doing things your own way, going your own way, that's what a sinner is. He realizes he's a sinner and that he needs to get God in his life. Because when he gets God in his life, he's going to be seeing all this stuff happening.
Amen, amen,
all right?
Amen.
But Jesus replies to Simon, there's nothing to fear. There's another one to mark in your Bible today. Come on, get some of these scriptures marked. Row out into deeper water and cast your nets for a catch. We have worked hard all night because you say so. When they did, both boats were so full, they began to sink. And here's the other one. There is nothing to fear.
Amen. Amen.
We need that word. There is nothing to fear. If we die, we go to heaven. What are we worried about? The very worst they can do to us is kill us, and then we get to be in glory early. Christians need to recapture some of the early vision that people had that they were going to an awesome place. Now we're praying heaven down on earth. The Lord taught your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, we're doing that, but we're going to the place where it all comes from. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Hallelujah. And Jesus replied to Simon. Here we go again. There is nothing to fear. Some of you just need to hear that. Hallelujah. In the future, you will be catching men and women. So they beached their boats, left everything, and followed Jesus. Their personal plans, their career plans, everything got put to one side to follow what Jesus was telling them to do. That doesn't necessarily mean you don't have a career, because people are called to be in business. People are even called to be bankers, believe it or not. I know, it's like tax collectors in the first century, isn't it? Hallelujah. People are being called into all kinds of industry as well as called to be in the ministry. All right? But they're listening to what God is saying. People are doing things in different ways. People aren't just working full time to get everything that they need. You know, sometimes now people are choosing to work part time and not getting so much money in because there's so much work to do in the kingdom. Yeah. We're a kingdom people. Yeah. Now, not so that you go into debt. You've got to do this according to what the Lord is telling you. That's the secret. In this particular case, the time of fishing for these guys was completely over. And there's people sat in the room who at some point, maybe today, maybe next year, maybe in 10 years' time, you'll get the call, now give up everything you've been doing and follow me in this. And it might be when you're 70, it might be when you're 17, who knows? Okay, let's move on in the story of Jesus. Are you getting something from just Jesus ministering? There we go then. In one town, this is the next verse, verse 12, a man approached Jesus in the advanced stages of leprosy. Now, just before you get your knickers in a twist, it doesn't necessarily mean it was leprosy. It could have been eczema, very bad eczema, otherwise he wouldn't have been so desperate. But to be honest, that's irrelevant. This man had a need and it was bad. You know, in this particular case, it does say advanced stages of leprosy. I'm pointing this out because a lot of your Bibles will have a little note and you'll look down the bottom and it'll say this might not have actually been leprosy because leprosy was used for all kinds of different skin ailments. And then sometimes people say, oh, that's not so much of a miracle then. Listen, I used to have incredibly bad eczema over all my body. When you get healed of it, it's major. All right, Dan the man, Dan my son, I don't know why I called him that then. when he was little, he used to have very, very severe eczema. He used to cry in the night and you'd go up to him and his sheets would be red with blood. And you'd end up putting him in a bath of cold water just to try and take away some of the burning sensation. And he had various creams and various treatments and they all made it worse. I can't remember. He called one of our doctors something by a special name because the cream that he'd given him just made him so bad. But it wasn't, you know, a bad name. But it was terrible. The only bit that really got healed while he was a kid was his feet. He said, that's bizarre. Well, one thing that Dan wanted was to be able to wear training shoes because he had to wear leather proper shoes all the time. Otherwise, his feet just erupted. He couldn't even play football because if he wore shin pads, his legs would just erupt. But he wanted his trainers for his shoes, and he got prayed for at faith camp. He even ended up on the main stage without us realizing he was going up on the main stage to tell everybody with Pastor Colin that his feet were healed at Power Pack. And Pastor Colin said, well, Mum, not knowing it was us, of course, we had no connection in those days, you better buy him a set of trainers then. And really, it was a step of faith just to do that, because every time it had been tried before, his feet just erupted in this horrible eczema. But they didn't. Hallelujah. Every now and again, it still flares up over his body, but he too has had tremendous healing. My hands used to just be covered in scaly flesh all over. Really, really, really painful. I used to say to the Lord, please, just again and again, I'd just say to the Lord, please, just take this away from me. Hallelujah. And then it just went. I used to, funnily enough, at Go Generation, when we used to work with the children at Faith Camp, I used to pray with children who had eczema. And I would put my eczema hand on the child's eczema skin and see their skin heal. How bizarre is that? You see somebody else healed with the hand that's not well. And it shows you it's God. Hallelujah. We can all do this.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Anyway. I'm getting distracted here. We're not going to get through this, are we? It's another one of those. No, we're not. It's a long chapter. I've got stuff through to the very end, you know, 39 verses, and we're only in verse 12, so more to come. We've got a treat next week, though. Yeah, special treat, special guest speaker. Yeah, he is a member of our congregation. Doesn't speak very often, but he's going to give a powerful talk and testimony of just how God has provided in his and his wife's life. They've never spoken here before. I tell you, it's one to invite your friends to. It's going to be a powerful morning, I reckon, of testimony. And if any of you, you know, with what God was doing us with us last week about giving and stuff like that, their lives are just a testimony of how when they've given, how God has given back. And it just really encourages you. But if you've got any friends, you know, that are struggling financially, it would be a great for them to come with you because it will stir their faith, you know. I'm not saying they come so that they put something in. Just come so they get encouraged that there's a way out, you know. So it'd be a good week to invite people along. Okay, it's going to be Andy Key. All right, Andy and Carol are going to do it. They're not here this week. They're over in Bradford. But they're going to, next week, they're going to, well, they're just going to bring testimony and teaching. The only thing is, he doesn't mince words, our Andy. He's a Yorkshireman from the west of Yorkshire. And so he will be very blunt. You are warned. But it will be brilliant, I'm absolutely sure. So a special treat next week. So I won't, what I'm trying to say in a very long-winded way when I've already run out of time is that I won't be continuing this next week, so maybe after that. Hallelujah. But I'll finish the leprosy bit. He fell to the ground on his face before Jesus and pleaded with him, "Lord, you can make me clean if you want." All right, this man's not got a lot of faith. He's got enough faith to know that Jesus could if he wanted to. And Jesus' response is important for us as we talk to others and as we share the good news with others. Because Jesus reaches out and lays his hand on the man. That in itself would have been a testimony. Whether it was eczema or leprosy, nobody else would have been touching this guy for fear of contacting what he got. So the first thing we've got to realize is we've got to go out and we've got to encounter people in real ways. We can't be distant. We can't love people from a distance. We've got to get in there and we've got to be in people's lives if we're going to see a difference. All right? Whether we literally touch them or whether we metaphorically touch their lives, we've got to get in there. Otherwise, the whole Christianity thing is just a mockery. You know, it's got wonderful passages in Corinthians that everybody knows about. Love is patient, love is kind, love never fails. But unless we do that, it's all a big hypocritical nonsense. Jesus reached out and laid his hand on the man and said, here's another one to underline, whenever anyone is asking for healing, here is the response of Jesus. Of course I want to. There is never any doubt. Because healing is by grace. Healing is not by how good that person has been, whether they've been to church or whether their granny was a believer. If it was, it would be healing by works. Salvation is by grace and healing is by grace. Okay, you say, well, there's family curses and this has been happening and that has been happening. That is a human understanding of what God does by grace. We need the divine understanding that healing is by grace. Because healing is in salvation. Salvation, the word comes from sozo, which isn't just about getting saved for a place in heaven. It's being saved here and now. It's being saved body, mind, and spirit. It's getting your body sorted out and healthy. It's getting your mind healthy, which is why you can be freed from addictions and stuff. And it's getting your spirit born again, so you can discover and live with God. One of the difficulties we do have when we're trying to share how awesome God is, that until you are born again, until you have said yes, you can't actually fully experience God because your spirit is dead. You know, you need to come into the new creation. Unfortunately, that's the step of faith that every single person has to take. You've got to step off the cliff at some point and say, okay, I'll give it a go. And if it's not true, you'll hit the floor. Sorry, I can't make it any easier for anybody who's not here today. If you want to know the fullness of God, you've got to step off the cliff. And if it's not true, you'll crash. It's true. Sorry, there isn't a nice, easy way. And don't come, and also if anybody's not a Christian here this morning, I can't give you a lovely soft soap message of come along and just get blessed and feel good. I'm calling you to a revolution.
Yeah.
All right, I'm calling you to hard work. I'm calling you to go out in the deep water as well. You know, for too long, the church has been sort of this namby-pamby, skip-along, zippity-doo-dah type thing that men particularly don't want to go anywhere near. You know? Jesus was a man and he was a real man. He was a hero. He's my hero. Come on, Paul, you've got to finish now. Of course I want to be healed. Please, Christians, notice the prayer of healing here. That's all you need to do. You'll not be heard for your many words, so that's all I'm going to say on it. And immediately he was cleansed from his leprosy. What do you do if you pray for somebody and they're not immediately healed? You don't give up. You go out into the deeper water. You keep praying and persisting. We don't live in perfection, but by God, we're moving forward into it. Then Jesus ordered him not to tell anyone what had happened, but go directly to show himself to the priest and have the healing verified. That was part of the Jewish law. That's why he told them to do that. Today we would say, if you've been healed, go and see your doctor, because that's how our society works. We're not into this foolishness which makes people just throw away medicines. Okay, you don't throw away medicine when you're healed until you've been to the doctor and had it confirmed. The only exception, which I have seen, is when you carry on taking the medicine, it makes you sick because now you're ill. In which case, just get a quicker appointment. Because there's going to be people dramatically healed, even more than we've seen before, and you will be coming off drugs that you were supposed to be on for your lifetime. That's right. You believe it. I like that. Make the sacrifice that Moses commanded for those healed of leprosy as a witness to everybody. So Jesus wasn't saying, sometimes people say, he said don't say anything because he didn't want it known. How ridiculous is that? He's just been healing everybody in the chapter before. He's saying, go to the priest, have it properly verified, so that everybody can see you've been properly healed and it's properly verified. Then everybody can know. And this is a good thing for us Christians to grab hold of as well. You know, it's okay, and in fact it's good and right and proper to go to the doctor and have the healing verified. It's not a lack of faith. It's living according to the word, so that then when you tell people, I've been healed of cancer, you can say, and the hospital or the doctor says so. That's a lot better than something that's a bit more subjective. We don't need to be scared of miracles being verified. We need to be excited. We're going to see doctors and nurses saved. Now, I am coming to the end. Nevertheless, the news of this event spread rapidly. As a result, crowds came to hear Jesus preach and be healed of their afflictions or their sicknesses. How were they healed? Remember, you shall decide and decree a thing. Jesus said, be healed, and it shall be established for you. And the leprosy was gone. There was loads more healings here, but this one is just used as an example for us. Now, we'll finish with verse 16 because we'll have to stop for today, which is quite sad because there's so much more here. But we'll stop because it's a good place to stop, verse 16. Whenever possible, Jesus withdrew to lonely places in order to pray. A funny verse to finish on. Underline that one in red. What's it telling us? One, Jesus was a very busy person. It's not wrong to be busy as a Christian. It's right. It's a bit of a modern cult that says if you're too busy, you're not doing it right. If you're running around and around and around and around and getting nothing accomplished, that's not good. If you're wearing yourself out so that you prematurely aging. That's not right. But actually, we are called to be busy. You'll get your days of rest. You'll get times to withdraw, and you need to get times to withdraw so you can also be alone with God to pray. You'll also get times to withdraw to relax and play. But we are going to be busy. We're going to be very, very busy. Are you ready for the busyness? This is everything you've prayed for, everything you've wanted, but you're going to be busy. Looks like you're counting the cost out there. But it's true. But that's why it's exciting. You don't have great things without great deal of work. In Haggai, he encourages the people on the rebuilding of the walls. Be bold, be strong, and work. Hallelujah. We're going to finish today with a song. It would be good to do the Love of the Mystery, I think. That's all right. So if the band come up. And this is going to be a kind of our response to the message this morning. If there's anyone here today and you don't know the Lord and you'd like to find out more about what it is to get to know him so that you can see the power of God in your life, don't go home today without asking questions. Nobody's going to force you to do anything. We just don't do that. Following Jesus is a completely free choice. Nobody can force you to follow Jesus. If they do, it's not true. It's not proper. It's a cult. At any moment, you can walk away from it. Anyone here, you don't want to follow Jesus anymore, you can leave. You can go and do what you want. It's not a cult. It might be hard to get away from the love sometimes. And the people that love and care about you, but you're free. And you're free to come and you're free to go. But this morning, don't go home without following it up. If you've got questions, come and ask. You can come and see me. I'll be down here at the end. I'll be down in the restaurant a little bit later. And Brian and Shona, who are sat on the front row here, they're going to be down there as well. I want to just finish with this song, and then I'm not going to say anything, so I just want to finish with the song. Because the song will speak a little bit more to you about what we've been talking about. So have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.